What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Lost and Found Show. New name, new us, new mission, one purpose. That's a loud buzzing, dog.
Dude.
We are doing our video for the first time. Well, this is technically the second time. I think we recorded, what, the first episode, Noah?
Yeah.
And posted it on YouTube from an iPad.
And but then we tried to do another episode here.
Yeah, but
we're technical doing... Technical difficulties.
We're going to do it right this time. We've got Jackson and Kennedy, as always, in the background. Over there. But yeah, today we have our verse of the day from Big Dog Noah.
Verse of the day, Isaiah 41:13. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, do not fear, I will help you.
That's good. That's good. And then, Corey, you're going to take us away with a little prayer, right?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we come, we welcome you in this place. God, we just want to be focused on you. God, we want to magnify you, God, and just let everything that we do glorify you. Jesus, God, just let us decrease, Father. You're the one that we're here for. You're the main attraction, God. You're the only reason that we're here. Father, just to glorify you and magnify you, Father, and just magnify your name to the lost, God, and to proclaim your name to the sick and suffering, God. God, I pray right now for our local churches, God. I pray for my home church and Bridge and Noah's home church thrive. God, we just pray that you anoint our pastor, God, just keep continue to doing the Lord's work, Father, and ministering to us every single Sunday. And God, just use us as vessels, Father, and just let us represent Christianity, God, the way that you intended it to. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
But yeah, today we're going to be talking about kind of change and transition, because we obviously changed our name. We announced that the last episode, and we have a new year coming upon us, so there's a lot of change going on. Everyone's trying to live a better way, live a different way, and just dive deeper into the Word and focus on Jesus. But, I mean, how's your week going, Noah?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Worked out yesterday. Had a little counseling appointment this morning, and then helped Mr. Tim's mom and dad move some stuff out of their little apartment.
Yeah. You over there talking like, I worked out yesterday, and it's fitting. It's good. I like it.
Thanks.
How about you, Corey? What's going on, dog?
I'm chilling, man. Enjoying a couple days off. Work has been a grind. So I take my couple days of peace and quiet, man. You know, I just make sure that I'm taking care of what I need to take care of, man. Self-care is super important in my line of work, in the addiction field. So I just got to make sure that I capitalize, you know, on my downtime, man. Yeah. You know, hanging out with you dudes, you know, reading the Bible and stuff like that, man. So I went to pick up Jaden yesterday from school, and he goes to Christian school, my son, and the pastor said, he asked me, like, what's been up? And I said, nothing, man. Like, I got a promotion at work. You know, I'm starting to counsel. So my official job title is a substance abuse counselor intern, but I'm counseling. And he said, Corey, you just have to make sure you're keeping your cup full, man.
Yeah.
Make sure, because you pour out. You know, you got to make sure that the Lord's pouring into you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. And that's so good, dude. That I'm so happy that you got that promotion. I mean, you deserve it, and I know you're going to do great things through it. It's something you've been working towards for a long time, right?
Man, yeah, for sure. So the Lord revealed it to me very early on. You know, I went to a 12-month program called Teen Challenge, and it's like Bible boot camp, man. It was the toughest thing I ever had to do in my life. And God revealed to me early on that he wanted me out of Louisiana, that he wanted me in Florida, and that he had a mission for me. And it was directly correlated to helping sick and suffering drug addicts, man.
Yeah, that's so good.
There's a generation out there that is literally dying right before our eyes, man, from fentanyl. Mm-hmm. And it's heartbreaking. And I know I was like that too. I was the hopeless one for so many years that everyone had gave up on. And it took one encounter with God. Mm. One encounter with God, and I was delivered, man. Now, I went down a long path of deliverance, right? Like, I didn't have like a bright white light, just light switch where I was just free and set free. My spirit was. But as far as like getting renewed of the mind and stuff like that, that is still a journey, brother.
Yeah.
Can't forget about you, Riz. Got a new big job, man, coming up.
Right?
Yeah. So I start in a week as a project manager for a roofing company next Wednesday. Not a whole lot of experience in it, but it's what they're looking for. They're looking for somebody that they can kind of train up in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully it goes good. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm praying about it. I prayed about it a lot. And seems like the right thing to do, and we'll be able to maybe throw Noah a little bit more work while he's in school doing some pressure washing and stuff like that for me, because I'm gonna be tied up 5 days a week mm-hmm. with the new company and the new job. But I guess we can kind of start off with the change and transition, like a little bit of the biblical foundations for change.
Yeah, right on.
And in my notes, I've got seasons of change. So like a biblical perspective, mm-hmm. and I would look into like Ecclesiastes 3.
Yep.
And Ecclesiastes 3:1 and how God ordained the seasons of our lives.
There's a time and place for everything.
Yeah, everything. Yep. Like
I tell my kids that every day, dude.
There's a reason for it. Yep. Like everything happens for a reason. And 99% of the time, even though it's not in your plan, it's in God's plan. Mm-hmm. And it's you're going to be able to make something fruitful of something that's in God's plan.
For sure.
You got anything you want to like build on it a little bit or...
No.
What kind of change are you, Noah, looking for this year?
Kind of change for myself, you know, so like better motivation, you know, in school. Kind of change being able to talk to my parents more, hang out with my parents more. You know, even some change in the church, kind of wanting to get more involved in the church.
Yeah.
Speak about my faith publicly. I remember doing it on here, but you know, like try and go out in the streets and you know preach to the people that need it.
Yeah. Like I mean, like Corbin said last episode, and we agreed with him, is one of the most important mission fields we have is in our very own backyard. Mm-hmm. Like you don't have to travel the world to find lost people. There's lost people all over the place.
For sure.
What are you looking for, Corey?
This year, man, it's just I don't ever want to get complacent, bro. I don't ever want to get content with where I'm at. I always want to go to... I remember this guy told me, I went to the Asbury Revival mm-hmm. when I was still a teen challenge, and this guy came up and prayed for me, and he said, if you attempt great things for God, you can expect great things from God. And it stuck with me, man, so I never want to get to a place where I'm just complacent with my faith or with my walk with him. I always want to go deeper, man. You know, that's why we committed to this Bible study once a week, man. I never want to get to a point where my cup is too full.
Yeah. And that's good. I mean, change, a lot of people for a long time, I looked at change as like a really bad thing. Like, because, and one thing is that I don't want to get too comfortable where I'm at.
Mm.
Because when you're comfortable, that's when you make mistakes and that's when things happen.
Yeah.
And a quote that I always loved is the changes we dread may contain our salvation.
Mm.
So, and that's William Bridges. He's like an author, mm-hmm. a businessman. He's a Christian. So,
yeah,
it's one of those ones. I think I actually saw the dude's been he's been passed away for years and years now because he was born in like the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those ones that I saw like in high school, and I couldn't remember the quote. I just remembered the dude's name, and when you search his name, that's like his number one quote.
Mm-hmm.
So. He's got another one that's so good. That's look at every exit as an entrance to something else.
Mm. That's it, man.
So just because you're transitioning from one point of your life and maybe losing a group of people or changing a job or something like that, it's a door opening for something that could be greater, not only for you, but to empower you to do something great for someone else.
Yeah, like new experiences and opportunities.
Yeah. So like number two that I've got down is God's promise in transition. And understanding God's faithfulness through transition, just like the Israelites' journey to the promised land.
Mm.
So like they were obviously, I mean, I couldn't imagine anyone not being hesitant when you're told to find somewhere new, that there's this great place mm-hmm. that you're going to. And so I'm cracking up at Jackson over there. Behind the scenes, Jackson. And it's just like, it's a beautiful thing to have that kind of faith, to not be too worried about the change and transition you're going through.
Yeah.
Because what you said earlier, faith without works is dead.
That's it, brother.
And having faith, that's the substance of things that we can't see.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't see your faith. You can't tangibly feel it. But as long as you have it and you have that faith in Christ,
yeah,
honestly, you're never going to be led astray. Like,
yeah,
things, they might not come easy,
yeah,
but it's going to get easier. You're going to learn to roll with the punches,
mm-hmm,
and just kind of like go with the flow more.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, if there's a flow you want to follow, it's the flow of Jesus Christ.
Definitely. And the thing is, man, it's so it's been my, kind of my understanding and revelation with it, that faith without works is what separates a lot of Sunday goers, a lot of lukewarm Christians. Because I can sit there and say that I have faith, but if I'm unwilling to do what's uncomfortable, right, for mm-hmm, with my faith, mm-hmm, and for God and for the kingdom, that's what's going to separate, you know, people who have fruit as opposed to who don't. And for the longest time, man, especially when I was early in my faith, I guess maybe I wasn't staying sensitive to the Holy Spirit enough to know, yeah, what was required of like a daily Christian walk. And it is to don't get it twisted, man. It is to get sanctified, bro. It is to get set apart. It is to be separate from the world.
Yeah.
You know,
just like in Romans.
Yeah.
Do not conform to the yeah, pattern of this world, but be transformed by reviewing your mind.
Yeah, that's right. Romans 12:2.
Yeah. It's tough. Like, we live in a fun world.
Mm. Yeah.
And sin is, a lot of times, dude, sin is fun.
Mm.
That's the stuff that humans naturally want to do.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's hard to follow the right path. And I mean, for anyone, no matter how long you've been on your journey of faith, or you've been devoted to Christ and how on fire you are, there's always that one thing that's going to make somebody want to slip up. That's going to make somebody want to do something that they shouldn't be doing.
Definitely. You know, it's crazy too. Like, people want to talk about the separation from God since birth, like we're inherited sin. Check this out. This is a good reference. Like, so I have to teach my children not to lie, not to steal,
because
it's in their nature. So sin has literally been inherited to us, man, from the first man ever who separated himself from God and gave himself up to the world and gave himself up to the, you know, the evil one. And so now it's us as Christians to help be the example, to teach our children to be set apart and to be separate. Because I tell you what, if I let my kids run around this house all day, they'd be lying and stealing and probably cussing and fighting.
Yeah.
it's up to me, you know, as their father, to teach them how to be separate.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, what transforms us is our want to be like Christ.
Yeah.
That's what transforms us. And then you as a father and me as a father, we have to want to be like Christ, or our kids will never want to. I mean, they do everything we do.
Yeah,
like,
that's right, man.
It's sometimes it can be quite frustrating and annoying that they want to be just like us.
Yeah, for sure.
But
Noah, do you ever feel blessed? I mean, obviously, I know you feel blessed, but do you ever feel, like, grateful that you were raised by, like, God-fearing parents?
Yeah, 100%.
For sure.
You know, like, my dad inspires me because, you know, every morning I see him praying for hours, and, you know, that inspires me, and I want to be like that when I grow up.
Yeah.
So, you know, I hope also that inspires, you know, my brothers and sisters down the road, and they view my dad as a role model, and they want that kind of passed down from generation to generation.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's I didn't mean to say that you were like ungrateful. I know how, you know, grateful you are to be raised by God-fearing parents, but it's like, yeah, I look at you, man, at somebody who could, you know, just has such a good upbringing, and like, your life is the fruit of it, my friend. You know, you're a good kid.
Yeah.
At 19 years old, I was very much lost and very much just getting started on a long road to live a life without God. I almost envy you a little bit, bro.
you said earlier you don't want to get complacent, and
yeah,
I wrote down a quote that I had read this week. Complacency is a deadly enemy of spiritual progress.
Mm.
The contented soul is a stagnant soul.
Mm.
So
that's deep, dude.
Yeah, that's good. And I didn't write down who that one was by. We'll just say Michael Scott. Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott. But yeah, there's just like so much. There's so much more on this episode of change and transition that we could get into, that I feel like we'd have to do like 4 full episodes.
Yeah.
To truly like dive deep into it.
Yeah. I don't ever want to reach a finish line, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You, right. Like there's not a goal. Like obviously the goal is to live a life on fire for Jesus and go to heaven. But I don't ever want to reach a point in my life, in my walk with God, where I'm content.
Yeah.
Like that's it. I ran the race. You know,
the finish line is when we get to meet him face to face.
That's it, bro. So until then, we're most definitely called to you know, do the work, man.
Yeah, we're running that marathon.
Yes, sir.
The rest of our lives. This PK, that one was for you.
Yeah, for sure.
He did the New York City Marathon, in case nobody knows.
Yeah, right.
26.2.
Ran a marathon, if you guys
know. 26.2 miles to be exact. So navigating some specific like life transitions, moving forward after loss, is obviously the first one that came to mind with me. I'm sure with Noah, and even with you, Corey. I mean, you've lost so much. I mean, at one point, you completely lost yourself. But
I talked with my counselor about like loss today.
Yeah, and it ties in to our new name, Lost and Found, because we all were lost, and we all will probably get lost again.
Yeah,
but we're forever found.
That's it, man. He leaves the 99. I love it. It's the parable that Jesus taught, that the gospel truly came to life and God revealed himself to me through it. It was Luke 15, when it's the parable of the lost son. And we spent our whole lives, I did anyways, running from God. And when I turned around and actually put my eyes on the Father, I realized that he was waiting for me the whole time. Mm-hmm. God never ran from me, not once, man. It was me. I lived a lifestyle of running from God.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, you cannot outrun him, man.
No matter how hard you try, no matter how fast you run, he will find you.
If he wants you, if you're called, if you're chosen, and we all have the choice, right? But you know, the Bible tells us to live a life worthy of our calling. And so when I took my running shoes off, I tell people like that all the time at work when I'm ministering to them, man. When I truly surrender to God is when he truly revealed himself to me.
Yeah. And you hit rock bottom.
Yeah,
and that's what it took for that to happen.
For sure. Well, the thing was, is I reached a spiritual rock bottom, dude. Yeah. I reached a place of 100% darkness, man. Like absence of light, absence of hope, absence of purpose. I had nothing left. I let drugs and alcohol destroy who I was, man. And it was in that moment when I repented and you know, a true repented heart brought forth a true deliverance, man. Mm-hmm. And God revealed himself to me. And he told me one thing, bro. He told me that I was loved. And for the first time in my life, in my entire life, man, I was 29 years old when I got saved. I felt God's love. Yeah. I felt his presence.
Now, was that the night of August 19th
that
you did that?
Yep, 100%.
Me and Corey, we both celebrate birth.
Yep.
Because I was born on August 19th and he was rebirthed. Yep. He came into a new life. That's the last time you ever got high,
that was
right?
That was the last day I put a needle in my arm. That was the last day I put a bottle in my mouth.
22 or 21?
22.
22.
Yep.
So I'll make 3 years
this year. I'll make 3 years this year, man. God willing.
Yeah. So we'll be celebrating that one.
Oh, for together. Sure. For sure. Summertime, we'll be on the lake or something, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Around the jet skis.
Yeah. So like the moving forward after loss is finding hope and healing in God. That's what I've done. That's what Deanna has done. I know that's what Noah's done. That's what Jackson's done. That's what everyone who was close to Josiah has. That's all we've had.
Mm.
We've had each other and we've had God.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what's gotten us through it.
Dude, and like, so I just want to sidebar. Like, obviously I came in after Josiah passed and I didn't have the pleasure of meeting him, but to watch your family and your friends reconcile and kind of band around each other, like, I envy your family unit, like y'all's dynamic and your family, and how every time I show up to your house, you know, from Robin and Tim to Jackson to you, you guys literally treat your house as with like an open door policy. And to see the way that your family has kind of banded together through such a tragic and horrific loss, it's inspiring to me, man, that there are good people out there and bad things can happen to good people, but it doesn't have to change who you are, man.
I mean
it's awesome, man.
Nobody preps for that.
No,
like, I mean, we said it a few weeks ago, nobody preps for people expect their 88-year-old pawpaw to pass away soon, but nobody plans for their 18, 19-year-old brother or son or friend, best friend or anything to pass away suddenly in some like freak accident. And to see Tim and Robin handle this how they have has been one of my like driving forces as well. Like I don't know if I, it prepares me, like, God forbid something happen in my future with my family or my friends or something, mm-hmm. or something like that, to be able to truly have two role models that do things exactly right.
Yeah.
And treat everything how exactly how it should be. I mean, I think since, not even just since that day, but like since the day I met them, it's been an open door like that.
Yeah.
So it didn't take a tragedy for that to happen. Right. It's just,
well, I think the thing that stands out to me the most is the fact that they could suffer such a tremendous loss and still have the heart of like a servant of like, you know what I'm saying? Every time I'm there, like I never feel like a burden, you know. Miss Robin's always making sure I'm like, if I need food or anything, man, to see somebody who has truly been affected by loss and let it not break their spirit. Yeah. That's super inspirational, man.
It's something crazy. So the next thing I wrote down for that was from singleness to marriage. So obviously Corey and I are married.
It's a big one, bro.
Corey, you've been married for
going on a year. We've been together for 10 years. We have two kids together. Obviously before Christ, she got sober and she got saved. And then in the process of her getting saved, after she got sober, she never lost hope on the fact that if I had a love encounter with Jesus, and dude, she took me to church. She dragged me up to the altar, bro.
I'm sure you didn't want to go either.
Oh, dude, I had more olive oil on me. I could probably slip and slide down the aisle, man. They were praying for me in tongues and everything, and it wasn't until I was really truly ready to surrender, until I could finally meet God, man.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and I mean, Deanna and I this year will be 8 years, I want to say, married. I think.
Noah, you were like 10 years old when they got married, bro.
Yeah, that's crazy.
No, I'm just kidding.
You were like 11 or 12.
He's a little baby.
So I think this year would be, so 2017, that would be 8 years, right? Yeah, that's 8 years this year. And we knew we were a little bit different. We've been married for 8 years, but we knew each other for 3 months before she got pregnant with Brecken.
Mm.
And I was 18 years old.
That's one of them, like...
Yeah, so it's like I grew up real quick.
Yeah.
Like I had to. I didn't have a choice because I might not have been as deep diving into the word and connected through the church and with Christ as I should have been. But I knew that that's where I was going to end up.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I was going to have two little boys that I had to raise up in that same way, just like my parents did.
Yeah.
And my parents... Honestly, so one day this is probably like 8 to 9 months ago, I was driving down the road listening to Brandon Lake's, I can't think of the name of it now, his song where he's like,
song?
No, it's like Grandma used to pray out loud.
Oh, Talking to Jesus.
Yeah, Talking to Jesus.
I was talking to Jesus.
And he, in that song, he like thanks his grandma and his parents for having God, for putting, like, for introducing him to Jesus. And I remember I just like called my mom as soon as the first time I had listened to that song and told her the same thing. And her words were just like, that is the only thing I've been waiting for 27 years to hear from you.
Yeah.
And there's nothing that makes me happier than that. Like hearing that, like thanking me for,
well, yeah,
that was her ultimate goal
for sure. Well, now that we're fathers too, I understand the mindset too. I don't, you know, if my children want to be whatever, dude, if you want to work it, like, I don't, like, as far as like the worldly things, you know, I'm going to support them as far as if they want to go to college, if they don't, you know, if they want to go here, if they don't, if they want to get married, if they want to stay single. But the only mission I have as a father is to raise my kids to know the Lord.
Yeah.
That's it.
And so the next one, all of these, we got together all these like little topics before any of the stuff I found out happened, which is kind of crazy. Career transitions is one of the ones. And it's how to seek God's will in your professional journey, which is something that should be easy. But depending on who you work with, who you're surrounding yourself with, can be really tough. So, like, I would, when I worked for, like, Duke Energy and I was on the line crew, I wasn't telling these dudes about Jesus, because mm-hmm. they would laugh me.
Yeah.
Like, they'd laugh me out of the truck. Like,
yeah.
Because they didn't want to hear it. They're rough, like, good old country boys.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, they know of God. They know of the Bible. They know all this stuff probably because they were raised in it, but they didn't live it out.
Mm.
And that was very apparent and very obvious that they didn't follow that path. Mm-hmm. And it made it so easy for me to not follow that path mm-hmm. because I spent 12 hours a day. I spent more time with these guys yep. than I did with my own family.
Yep.
Like, I wasn't going to church at the time. I wasn't doing any of this stuff.
Yeah.
And it just made it so easy, like we said earlier, to slip into those worldly views.
Mm-hmm.
And so now with my new mindset going into this new career, I plan to be that light in the office. They're a Christian company, but obviously a Christian company doesn't only hire Christians.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't know, they might not succeed.
Well, especially in the construction industry, man. That's a rough, rugged bunch, dude.
Yeah.
You know, I was part of it for years.
And so, like, I'm taking this job, one, as a way to support the family mm-hmm. and support myself, but two, as a way to go out and make disciples.
Mm.
Because I don't know if any of these people, if my boss or if any of my coworkers have ever even heard about the Bible. Oh, excuse me.
It's that Cafe Bustelo right there, dog.
Ever even, like, if they've ever heard the stories or if they've ever been prayed over, like, you don't mm-hmm. know. You don't know about anyone or anything until you ask them.
That's true, man. That's true. So if I find myself at work in a rut, it's primarily a detox facility, which is where I work at. And the only thing I can kind of equate that to is like an ICU for drug addicts and alcoholics, man. And so we get a variety of people that are ready to change and people that aren't, you know, people that are going to fight. And I'm talking about, bro, I've been cussed at, I've been threatened, everything under the sun, but I pray that God just sends me one. Just send me one, man. And there's a few guys that I still keep in contact with, man. They'll give me little check-ins, bro, like once a week. Like, hey, brother, I'm still doing good, man. Yeah. You know,
you've had people show up to church, dude.
Like, I have. It's a blessing, dude.
That you've been able to pour into at work and see turn this new leaf in their life. Yeah. And
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I started crying one time, man, that my little buddy came up to me and hugged me, caught me completely off guard. And then we started doing worship. And bro, when I tell you, I felt the presence of God so thick in that room. I started crying, man, because it's like God reminds me that's why he spared my life.
Yeah.
That's why he spared me.
Let me go on a little tangent. What does it feel like to you when you feel the presence of God?
Because
I think everyone feels
That's a good question.
Do you physically feel?
So a short answer would be love.
Yeah.
Overwhelming love. Profound, powerful love. Supernatural love. And on a more physical level, it's just like a warmth, man. It's careless. It's weightless.
Yeah.
It's you're literally alleviated of every single thing that could kind of cross you or worry you or get you. It's like free from anxiety, freedom from depression. It's 100% in tune with the present moment, and it's just love. It's love, man.
Yeah, and that's such a good description. I mean, I get that like warm feeling inside. I physically get like goosebumps mm-hmm. every time. Without a doubt, I get the chills and I get goosebumps. I know I just contradicted myself because I said I get that warm feeling.
No, you can get hot, like warm chills. Yeah, I was gonna say you could get hot chills.
It overcomes you.
Yeah.
And takes every care
away.
Because I'm not gonna lie, like sometimes I'll be in a bad mood, whether Deanna and I just like we fought on the way to, which was so funny because Deanna and I were like beefing on the way to church on Sunday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And Pastor Kevin was like, I don't care if you were fighting with your spouse on the way here.
Right on time.
Whatever. And I was like, oh, man, how does he always say the right things at the right times?
Yeah.
But as soon as I felt the presence of God, like when we were in worship, it's just like, oh, like mm-hmm. I don't even care. Like,
yeah.
That's behind me. It's mm-hmm. not something I'm going to dwell on.
Yeah.
And it just makes it easy.
Well, so for you, Noah, like hopefully some, you know, 19-year-old kid out there can watch this and gain from it. But what do you think helped you transition from like the faith of your parents that was taught to you to the faith of your own, like as a man? Did anything stand out? Did you have like a revelation? Did you have an encounter?
I mean, you know, growing up in a Christian school, like, mm-hmm. really helped. Kind of, but one thing that I feel like really changed my faith is when Josiah passed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then in February or March, my grandfather passed. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I was dealing with, like, depression, anxiety, and all this. And, like, there was nothing to fill that void, mm-hmm. you know, other than, you mm-hmm. know, prayer and Jesus mm-hmm. Christ. So, mm-hmm. kind of that's, those two things were what really changed. And, you know, I wanted to be different, you know. I wanted kind of to be, you know, role model for mm-hmm. other teenagers, you know, yeah. and hope that they see what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, they can learn from that, and, you know, that can, this can help them, mm-hmm. you yeah. know, overcome whatever they're going through.
Yeah.
And, you know, just to know that you don't have to put alcohol or mm-hmm. drugs in your body to fill that void.
That's,
you know,
it,
just
man.
Fill that void with, you know, Jesus. So.
Dude, yeah. that's awesome, bro. That's it. Like, that in a nutshell, my friend, is what you're called to do in this season. You know, I really feel if you can walk this thing out in front of people, bro. And that's what it's about. It's about it. So it's like it's more about attraction rather than promotion. That's like an old AA saying. And that's how it is with our faith, man, is that I can tell you I believe, but I'd rather show you I believe. I'd rather live a life that shows you that I believe. And then people can get yeah. attracted to that, man.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and you know, at times, you know, you may go through, you know, losing a group of friends, you know, and that just may be temporary.
Definitely.
You know, but you hope that God will work through them, you know, mm-hmm. to bring them back. So.
Yeah.
That's right. And then too, like, not to get all, you know, holy roly on it, man, mm-hmm. but Jesus said that anybody who puts their hand on the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. And that is a high standard, bro. That is a high standard. That's when he's asking those people to follow him, and the guy says, well, let me go first bury my father. And he says, let the dead bury their dead. Not in a sense of, like, dismiss what you have to do. You know, he's not telling you not to grieve. But unless your priority is following God first, yeah. seek first the kingdom, everything else kind of essentially becomes a roadblock, mm-hmm. man. Yeah.
And prayer is such a huge part of, like, keeping your faith.
Mm.
And so many people, like, they'll be Christians. They go to church. They do all this. And actually, a few months ago, I can't remember. I was talking to an old friend of mine from Baton Rouge, and he had just
the dude who called you on the car.
No, he did call me, like, out of nowhere. I haven't talked to him. We used to be, like, absolute best friends. I haven't talked to him in a couple months. He just called me, and he was like, hey man, like, I just wanted you to know, like, I'm back in church. I'm trying to live the right ways, because, I mean, you know, like, being a young kid in South Louisiana, it can be tough. And
story of my life, bro.
Especially, like, growing up there and all that. But I was like, man, that's so good. Like, what a great step. Like,
yeah.
I'm proud of you for calling me. And I was like, but how's your prayer life?
Mm.
Like, how are you living outside of church?
Yeah.
And that kind of seemed to, like, just break him.
Mm.
Like, he was like, you know, like, my prayer life, I definitely need to get up there, and I need to work on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had told him the functions of prayer is not to influence God, but rather to change the nature of the one who's praying.
Mm.
So the reason I had, like, thought of that quote, and that quote came from the youth pastor that, I mean, I don't know if it came from him, but that's mm-hmm. where I heard it, that actually where Deanna and I met
mm-hmm.
when we were, like, 14 years old. We weren't friends, that's just, we knew each other there. And he had told me the same exact thing on our way to the Daytona 500 to serve there so they would pay for our camp. And that's kind of, like, clicked in my head ever since then. And I've had that written down in my notes for the longest time. I don't know. I've lost note after note after note, like, when I get mm-hmm. new phones.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow
yeah.
the notes that of, like, the scriptures the test and the, like, quotes that I've saved, like, over time just being in sermons
mm-hmm.
has somehow, that's, like, the only one that consistently mm-hmm. has followed me. I was like, man, that's God. That's
yeah.
not.
Yeah, for
that
sure.
That ain't Apple. That ain't me.
Yeah.
That's none God. And so it's just, like, if you don't, it's so good to, like, work on it. Get in church, obviously. You need church. You don't want to have the attitude of, oh, I don't need somebody to tell me about the Bible. I can read the Bible myself mm-hmm. and teach it. Then it comes back to the same thing I was telling you at lunch the other day. Like, okay, so why do you need professors or teachers in school
mm-hmm.
to teach you something?
Yep.
Because they know better than you.
That's
more
right.
experienced than you. They have a, what's the word I'm looking for? A calling on their life mm-hmm. to yeah. be able to portray this in maybe a different way that mm-hmm. you might not be able to read it.
Yep.
And if you can do all that and then pray, mm-hmm. dude, you're set. Like, mm-hmm. share the gospel,
mm-hmm.
have a prayer life, have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and...
Well, dude, it's in that, good, so dude. it's in the Bible too, man. Like the one that we follow, right? The one we follow, the one that we call our Lord Jesus. If you really read the Gospels and dissect it, bro, he would take time. That dude would disappear. He would go in the wilderness and pray. You know, that dude would go. He was like the vanishing man. He would go and spend a long time with God. He would go to a secret place, and then he'd come back down off that mountain, bro. And then start, look, miracle signs and wonders would follow him. But if the one that I'm claiming to follow, Jesus, I can't do something, you know, if I'm called to be Christian, and yeah. the word Christian means Christ-like.
Yeah.
So I have to live my life how Jesus did, man.
And praying can be a daunting thing to like think about. Like if you're thinking of it in the mindset of like, I'm just talking to myself. So like what do you think you could tell someone who wants to have that prayer life, who wants to get into that, but doesn't exactly know where to start? Because personally for me, it would be like, dude, just talk to Jesus like you're talking to your dad. That's or it. Your mom or your friend.
You
or,
took the words out of my mouth, bro. Talk it to, like a son talking to a father, or like a daughter talking to a father. And the thing is nobody is exempt from it, because I never had a good father, bro. Yeah. My dad was an alcoholic, and he was a violent, raging drunk, and he ended up drinking himself to death. He died at 54 years old. And so I did not know how to have a relationship with a man. I had a bad wound from a father. And so now in my mind I equate it as a son talking to a father. Yeah. I get lowly, I get almost like a childlike faith, and when I say prayers, I pray to the one who's in charge.
Yeah.
Right,
man. It always makes me so sad, tear up a little bit when you talk about your mom and your dad. And
yeah,
like, man, you can use mine.
Yeah,
you can have mine. Yeah, I'll sure. give you both their numbers.
You guys adopted me, bro. It's you can too, call it's them. Too late.
You can call my mom and dad. You can call Tim and Robin when you need something.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, because you never get too old to need advice from your dad, or to need your mom. Never.
Well, and then when there's a need too, if you're really trusting and walking with God, bro, he's gonna fill it. So when we moved to Florida, bro, I didn't know anybody.
Yeah.
We tried a couple of churches, and then we met you guys like our second or third time at Thrive, and we've instantly became like family.
Yeah.
And that's just for me, bro, that's God manifesting in my life. You know, I came out here with like this goal, and this dream to be an addiction counselor, and I knew that Florida could be a fresh start for me and my family. I wouldn't have to look over my shoulder, because that's how I was in Lafayette, bro. Like I would move, I would go to places to go to treatment. I could get like maybe 30, 60, 90 days clean, and I would come back home to Lafayette and I would get sick again, bro. Because I was susceptible to my family,
yeah.
to my friends, yeah. my environment. So like Florida literally is my safe haven.
Yeah.
And I'm just beyond grateful that I have friends that I consider family that I can do my life with, man.
Yeah, and to go back a little bit on how you kind of hit rock bottom, I think one thing Lecrae said in the podcast with George Janko was, you've got to admit how broken you are and realize how broken you are before you can be made whole.
Yeah, bro.
And you realized how broken you were,
and
you stayed broken for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then by the people that God put in your life,
mm-hmm.
being Bianca,
mm-hmm.
The pastors in your life, mm-hmm. Tim, people yep. like that,
yep.
you allowed God to make you whole.
For sure.
Because that's what he always wanted.
That's it.
And that's a beautiful thing, that no matter how many pieces you've been broken into, no matter how low you are, no matter how deep down into the earth you are,
mm-hmm.
how far down rock bottom into the valley you've fallen, you can always be lifted back up and put back together.
Definitely, dude. And it's like, so that's what, in my opinion, bro, that's why I was saved, is to tell no, I don't care. I tell people all the time, I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you're from. Nobody's too far gone for God. No one is too far gone for God. Because if you'd ask anybody who knew me, I was too far gone for God. you know, I shared with you guys the other night, we had a friend me and Bianca had a friend, his name was Travis Chasson, and he had been our friend for, you know, 10 plus years. And he, dude, when I tell you, when this guy would get clean, he would get on fire, bro. He would get on fire for recovery. He would start helping people, bro. He would be of service. Just a good dude, bro. My wife co-signed a car for this guy, man. Like, yeah, he was just a good dude. He's actually the one who got my wife into starting to sell insurance. Okay. And our buddy, it was me, Travis, and Ryan. That was like our
man. And she's getting DNA into it. So thank you, Travis.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Chain of, I mean, everything around us. I mean, I make decent money, but I don't make money like my wife makes money, bro.
You got that sugar mama.
Yeah, dude. And everything was from a seed planted by Travis. And long story short, he ended up dying to the disease of addiction. He died of a fentanyl overdose. And I was talking to my buddy Ryan either on Thanksgiving or Christmas, and he said, bro, it's so crazy. He said, because if 5 years ago, if you would have asked me if you or Travis would be an addiction counselor and who would be dead from fentanyl, he said I would have said that you'd be dead and Travis would be on fire for God and recovery. And that's just not the way that the cards played out, man. So now it's my responsibility to take my life and make it worth something, and to kind of walk with a purpose.
I mean, August 19th, you were at rock bottom. Mm-hmm. August 20th, you were a new creation.
I was on a plane, bro.
You were a new creature.
I was on a plane.
And by opening our lives to God and Christ, we become new creatures. Yeah. And this experience with Jesus spoke of as a new birth. Mm. It's essential if you're going to be transformed.
Mm-hmm.
Only through an inner spiritual transformation do we gain the strength to fight vigorously the evils of the world.
Mm. Noah, look up Galatians 2:20.
We'll wait.
It's in the back, like by Ephesians and Colossians.
Oh, man. Hopefully this video thing's going.
I know,
it's
right?
It's working out. I mean, we'll this see. Is the first time, so I don't mind like talking about it. Like, no, we're we'll working see. Through the kinks yeah, right for now. Sure. So
Galatians 2:20 says, "And it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, man, who loved me and gave himself for me."
Yeah, man. That is a foundational scripture in anybody who wants to be set apart, bro. Yeah. It's honestly, you can use that as a weapon. You can use that as a weapon against the enemy. When the enemy tries to remind you of who you were, Galatians 2:20. I'm a new creation. It's no longer I who lives. It's Christ who lives in me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And that's good. The Bible, another thing, like you've started going to church, like it's fine, like baby steps are okay.
Yes, dude.
Like you're trying to take the right path and you're trying to do the right thing. Church is great. Get in your word, get a prayer life. Like the Bible is not given for our information, but it was given to us for our transformation.
That's it.
That's why so many pastors say we don't want to get through the Bible. We want to get the Bible through you.
Yeah, bro.
And that's a powerful thing. If you can hide God's word in your heart, you will not sin against God.
For sure. Like, definitely. I've heard it put that the Bible was written for you, but it was not written to you. So everything that in the Bible has to be read in context. And then it takes exactly like you said, dude, simple application, baby steps.
And I mean, it keeps coming back to what I say about the Bible is basic instructions before leaving Earth.
That's it.
And that's what they are. Yeah, it might be hard to understand what's going on in the Bible. And there's no problem with getting stuck on a passage for a week or two at a time, like trying to figure it out and dissect it. But in the end, it truly is just instructions for us as Christians and Christ followers on earth to live out before we get to go meet all the people we've lost, get to go meet Jesus,
our Creator, man,
get to meet our Creator and live in eternity with him. So taking those instructions and then living them out is the true meaning for like a Christian life. Spread the gospel, talk to people, do your good deeds and all of this, and you'll be okay. Like, you might not feel like you'll be okay a lot of times. I'm sure you've had many times, and you still have many times, and I have many times where I'm like, man. And Noah, you probably too, and you'll experience a lot more like going through life. I don't know if I'm gonna make it through this. But you dive into the word, you pray about it, you have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and you're going to make it through it, no matter how hard it feels.
He will sustain you, bro. I didn't think I was going to live to be 30, dude. And I don't say that lightly. I literally had no plan or no hope or no future. And I know people out there still in active addiction that have no plan. They have no hope and they have no future. And it's sad, man. And I have to be the example for these people, man. That like a life changed by God is a true change. It's the long lasting change. It's the real stuff, man.
So I've got just like a couple quotes that I've written down over the past few days, like kind of like game planning for this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ones I really like, I put it in bold here, is not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until you face it.
Mm, that's good.
So you got to realize like it takes just like it happened for you, like hitting rock bottom.
Mm-hmm.
It took for me being like, dang, like I've got a little boy that I've got to raise up in this earth. And if you haven't hit that yet, Noah, you will hit that point to where you're like, this is what it's going to take.
Mm.
And you've got to face your fears. You got to face your problems, because there's not a fear in this world that is bigger than God.
Mm. That's good, bro. Like, that's good. That's right. It's the Bible says, why fear man who can destroy the body, but rather fear the one who can destroy the body and the soul.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
our body's not ours, man. We are created. Mm-hmm. So we shouldn't fear creation. We have to fear our creator. And it's not in a fear of like, I'm afraid of consequence or anything like that. It's a reverent fear out of respect. I respect that my life is short and I have a finite amount of time. But my soul goes on, lives forever. My spirit lives forever. Excuse me. That was it.
Oh, you're good.
I didn't mean to say soul, I meant spirit. that's not as bad doctrine.
Yeah, you're good. You're good. And another one is sometimes God brings transition to create that transformation.
Mm.
So he'll, I don't know what's to come from this new position.
Mm.
But for all I know, he could have said, you know what, you did your time running your own business, solo operation by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time to transition into something to where you're surrounded by 20, 30 people every day. And who knows, I could start this position and through God, he could use me to lead everyone in the company to Christ. Like, you got to look at the bigger picture in everything you do. And yeah, it makes me nervous as hell to go up to someone and talk to them about God.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those fears that I have to get over. And it's one of those fears that isn't bigger than God. And I won't let fear take over my life anymore, ever again.
Yeah.
That's kind of like my thing for this year is, oh, excuse me again, dude, it's that caffeine, that coffee. Fear has controlled me so much in life. Just like fear of like, oh, like of everything. Like, do you really think that you can pull that shirt off? Like, fear of how I look, fear of what people think of me. And I don't want to have any fear. And obviously everyone's going to be scared of something. But so in that all, again, roots back to something my mom implanted in me when I was little. And I got it tattooed on my body, is every time I was scared or nervous or anything, like this is all the way through like senior year, like sitting there like taking the like ACTs and SATs, I would be sitting there like mumbling under my breath like, for God has not given me the spirit of fear but of power, love, and a sound mind. And that one is stuck with me and been in me and probably been one of the number one reasons that like I've been able to overcome fears. Obviously God is the number one reason I can overcome these fears, but just like having that verse on repeat has truly helped me. And I don't know, there's some, Mother's Day comes around, we're doing an episode where we thank our moms.
I like that.
Whether they've done something wrong in our life, whether they've wronged us too many times, you still, one of the commandments, gotta honor your father and mother.
Yep.
Regardless of what happened. And that's a fine line, but it's something I'm very passionate about, that you could have had a really terrible mom and dad, but the Bible doesn't exempt them from being honored.
Mm, that's
it
good.
It doesn't say, you know what, your dad was a aggressive alcoholic and your mom wasn't around. Don't honor them anymore because of that.
Yeah, dude, I've found so much healing when I forgave. I started to truly forgive the way that I was raised. My dad did the best he could with what he what he had, man. You know, my dad was unwilling to accept help. He was unwilling to admit he had a problem. And it's like I look at it from the perspective like, dude, that could have very easily potentially be me. If God had not intervened on my life, I would have drank and drugged my entire life. And I know I'm a good dude. You know, I always had that inclination that I was a good person. I just had a bad problem. And that was my father, right? Yeah. So I had to learn how to forgive him, man. For sure.
Yeah, and reading, you know who Tony Robbins is, right?
Yeah.
The freaking highest energy man on planet Earth. I was reading through one of his books one time, and in there it says, by changing nothing, nothing changes.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to be willing to work on yourself. You've got to be willing to say, you know what? I sucked this last year.
Mm.
Like, I've got to buckle in and go for the ride and be willing to change myself. I mean, progress... it's impossible without change, and those who can't change their minds won't progress in anything.
Yeah, I read in a book one time that says the only thing that has the power to truly change a man's mind is the word of God.
Yeah.
And so it's like, that's the long-lasting change, man.
Yeah.
I can make temporary changes throughout my life, little adjustments, but the only thing that truly has the power to change somebody is that right there.
Yeah.
Because it changes you from the inside out.
The Holy Bible.
That's it, man. Noah, say something, bro.
Yeah,
you're just over here looking freaking awkward, bro. Dog.
I mean,
Noah's over here like,
no, I'm just listening.
What do you have? What would you say, like, the number one thing that, like, your parents have instilled in you as, like, a Christian man is?
Think for a minute. I mean, I feel like one of the biggest ones is, like, honor your father and mother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, my mom says it probably every week, every other week.
Like, if I'm all right, Mom, you might be using that one to your advantage.
Like, if I'm, like, if I don't clean up my room or something.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, you need to honor your father and mother. You know, it says in the Bible.
I mean, she's so right, though.
Yeah. That's probably, like, she's the biggest one. That's come from, like, my family household.
Yeah. How do you, talking to you, Corey, how do you, coming from the background of parents that you had, see yourself honoring your mom to this day?
Oh, so I always say every good thing about me came from my mom.
Yeah.
So every good thing that you guys see in me came from my mother. And every bad thing I got, it was inherited from my father. The hardest part about 15 years of active addiction is the fact that relationships get strained.
Yeah.
And some of them get strained to a point where I don't even know if they'll ever be like 100% repaired. So there's definitely still,
well, and through God, all things are possible.
100%. I'm not going to discredit or discount that. You know, if my mom watches this, she knows, you know, how hard she tried and how much she never wanted to give up on me. But at the end of the day, that was my decisions. That was my life choices that ultimately affected our relationship moving forward. And I think part of her, it's a bittersweet thing because she knows that I'm doing well. She knows that I'm sober and I'm safe and I'm walking with God. But I think a part of her still, you know, wishes I could have got it sooner, wishes I didn't have to go through 10 years of hell of shooting dope and running the streets and robbing people and stealing things. Because my mom had to see that stuff, man.
Yeah.
Every time I would go to whether it was a parish jail or a treatment center or a detox or a hospital, it was either Bianca or my mom. Yeah. They were getting the call, bro. So our relationship is not necessarily strained, but it's not as close as I would like it. You know what I mean?
But that's something you can actively work on.
Yeah, for sure.
And she knows, I'm sure, she knows that you've forgiven her have forgiven everything that's happened.
Yeah.
And you've told her, like, I know you did your best. You did everything you possibly could.
She did, man.
My fear, I'm going to forget that. My fear for your mom is that even though you tell her that, like, I just pray against that spirit of fear that she might have that thinks that she is still at fault
for it. That's good, bro.
Because that's the last thing we want right now is for your mom to think that, you know what, like, this is my fault. for the 15 years of hell Corey went through.
Yeah. Well, she did. So the thing is I tell people now I get to be the example and I get to be the voice of reason. Cause so the first thing is somebody does, say you come check into the detox that I work at. I meet with you and then I call your emergency contact. Yeah. So I get to tell people's family members, dude, my testimony and the fact that my mom almost loved me to death, right? She enabled me. She would allow me to go from treatment center to sober living to sober living. And mom, I need $100. Mom, I need $20. Mom, I'm about to show up at your house. I don't have no gas. My mom did that for years. Yeah. So she carries a burden of guilt for sure, dude, 100%. And the only thing now I can do is just let God, you know, work it out.
Yeah. And we just pray. We pray against that.
Yeah. 100%.
That spirit of guilt and that spirit of fear that she might feel, because one, you have forgiven her.
Mm-hmm.
And two, she doesn't need to hold on to that because it's going to do nothing but bring her down.
Yeah. For sure.
So in the end, she needs to know. And I hope, like, I pray that she watches this or listens to this.
Oh, I'm definitely going to tell her to check it out. She, the first one that we did, she loved it, man. My mom said she was, like, telling people at work about it.
Sorry, Noah. You were going to say something.
When you were saying that, you called your mom and thanked her for introducing you to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was thinking about, like, my biological mother.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I wish that, you know, I could call her and just thank her for putting me in a situation where I get to learn about Jesus and thrive in a family that loves Jesus. Wow.
And that's so mature, dude. I wish I was like you when I was 19.
Oh, dude, we'd be right?
And you never know. Like, she might know your name now, not your birth, the name you were born with. Mm-hmm. She might know who you are. She might keep up with you somehow. And if she sees this and she's been carrying that burden for 19 years, that, you know what, like, I gave up my son. Mm-hmm.
Like, I could have tried to raise him.
But hopefully she'll see something, she'll hear something, and she'll be able to say, you know what, I did what was right, and I did the best thing for him, and look at him now.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
And she'll be proud to call you, one, her biological son. Obviously, she's not your mom. She's not Kathy. She's your biological mother. But Miss Kathy is your mom, and Mr. Bruce is your mom, or your dad.
Big Bruce.
So that's just another thing we can pray against, that your biological mother doesn't carry that guilt.
Yeah, that burden.
Because she might be looking for that sign to say, like, to tell her that, like, you know what, like, because I'm sure if she does feel that guilt, she's tired of it. And it's just something that she can't overcome.
Yeah, man.
But, I mean, hopefully, I pray that she is a God-fearing woman that is in church and in the Bible and in the Word and has a prayer life. And she doesn't have that guilt because she knows she did what was right when she was younger, 19 years ago.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, that she, if she is the God-fearing woman, that she has a family now that she can raise up through Christ, you know, bring them to church, you know.
Yeah.
Show her prayer life to them, and hopefully that they model that.
Yeah. That's
it's good stuff, man.
That's real good stuff.
Good.
But I think, I mean, we're at about an hour.
Yeah, about an hour.
Next week's not the last Friday of the month, is it?
Mm-mm. No, because the last Friday's Rock the Universe, right?
So when the 25th?
Next Friday is Rock the Universe.
Yeah.
The 31st is the last.
Next Friday's
the 31st?
The 31st is the last Friday.
Okay, dang, so
I got to get my tickets,
next
bro.
Next Friday is Rock the Universe, Friday and Saturday.
Yeah. So next Friday, the last, like we said last week, the last Friday of the month, we're going to recap our Bible study on each book of the Bible that we do.
Love that.
And so, like, you guys can look forward to the last Friday of the month being a Bible study.
Hmm.
Like, essentially online. It doesn't have to be a live thing. Like, a Bible study is just getting in your Word, studying the Bible, and learning something.
Asking questions, too.
Like, figuring it out. And our Instagram DMs will be open. Our TikTok will be open. If there's a question you have, I will personally... Huh? TikTok might be getting shut down, so we might not have TikTok anymore. Who knows?
Thank God, bro. Thank God.
Yeah, thank
TikTok
God.
Is a device of the enemy in China. Anyway. Sorry. Don't get me started.
But but yeah, like I will personally put Noah's phone number out there again for all of you to text him. And I'll put Corey's on there.
Yeah.
And I'll Jackson's. Put Jackson's and Kennedy's.
Bro, I would be honored.
I do.
I would be honored.
But yeah, there's no shame. I don't care if 100 people somehow text us and ask questions. Dude, you got questions, please feel free to reach out and ask. Mm-hmm. We might not have the answers, but we'll do everything in our power to find the answer.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, is I tell people all the time, man, like, so use the help that's being given to you, man. So I'm telling you, if anybody's listening to this and they feel like they don't have a hope, that if they feel like they don't have a future, and if they feel like they're just bound in addiction, and that the recovery works for some people, but it doesn't work for them, I promise you, man, that's something I will give my phone number for 100%, dude. Not that I'm like selective about it, but like that's what my ministry is, bro. I feel called to help people that are stuck in active drug addiction, man, because I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be hopeless, and I know what it's like to feel alone. And I promise you, you're not alone. And if you want somebody to pray with you, if you want somebody to cry with you, if you want somebody to talk to, I do not hesitate to use my number and call me.
Dude, and if you're local to the Central Florida area,
we'll meet up for you with lunch.
We'll meet up for lunch. Yeah. We'll meet up for coffee. We'll invite you to church. Like,
that's right.
You can never
family dinner, all that, man.
Family dinner is always open. The door is always open. The table, you always have a seat at it. And we're willing to do that because we're here to make disciples of Christ, and we're here to be disciples.
Mm-hmm.
So who are we to say that we are too good to eat with someone, hang out with someone?
Look what Jesus did, brother. He hung out with the sinners and the tax collectors and the prostitutes, man. So what am I?
Bro, the tax collectors, own genre.
Yeah, dude.
That's, like they're such evil people.
That's it. That's like the modern day
equivalent. They weren't even grouped in with the sinners. They
exactly.
were sinners and tax collectors.
I feel like that's, in my opinion, that's like the modern day equivalent of like a telemarketer scammer. You know what I'm saying? Just trash. Bro, stop spam calling me. I'm not going to buy your freaking...
Car's extended warranty. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying, bro. My refrigerator works fine. I do not need an extended warranty on it. Stop calling me.
Yeah.
But Jesus would have hung out with you, so now I have to.
Yeah, well, we're called to live like Jesus.
Anyways, I digress.
But yeah, that's I think that's a wrap for this episode.
Hopefully we can edit all this together, man.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Hey, if this hits YouTube on Friday, then...
We did it, bro.
Yeah, we did it. And if it if our lips are a little bit slower than the sound, we're learning. But if not, we're professionals.
That's right.
Noah, you got that verse? He doesn't have it ready.
That's on me.
Bro, he never has it ready, but that's okay.
Love you, bub.
I'm
Isaiah's long, too,
I'm
bro.
Impressed with how you can just flip. It takes me out. Somebody asked me to open my Bible and find a verse.
Mm-hmm.
Give me 5 minutes.
Isaiah 41:13. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, do not fear, I will help you.
That's right.
I find it on my Bible app real quick.
Quick. Yeah, I know. I got spoiled to the Bible app, man, for sure. Definitely.
But there's nothing wrong with the Bible app. It is the Bible.
Love the Bible.
It's the easiest way to read the Bible, to have the Bible in your life.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that's a wrap. This might peace out.
Peace.
I don't know if we're supposed to say bye to the camera.
Gosh, we got some work to do, man.